All right, so Velton, we're looking at the fact that we have so many people who are in sales or they're getting ready to enter the world of sales. Maybe they're seeing that the economy is recovering still. It's somewhat slow, but still continued. And they're thinking, you know what? This may be the way for me. This, and some of them may know this has just been their passion and they're ready to make it happen. How do they do that? How do they make themselves? What do they do in order to be successful in sales?
Well, selling is a lifestyle. It really is. Selling is something that is innate and something that you really have to develop and become comfortable with. One of the things that I stress to people that I talk to, and a lot of the training that I do revolves around the six steps to the selling process. And the six steps to the selling process, the first step is prospecting or finding business. The second step is qualifying. The third step is presenting. The fourth step, understanding customer needs, which is very important. We'll talk about that. The fifth step is negotiation. And the final step, which is the most important step to any sales process, is closing or asking for the business. But let's spend a couple of minutes and we'll talk about each of those briefly. I'll tell you a little bit more later how you can get more information on them as time progresses, because I'm working through some DVDs that are coming out on the six steps. But the first step in prospecting, you know, a lot of salespeople are deathly afraid of prospecting. And they're deathly afraid of prospecting because of the old adage that prospecting means cold call. I've got to pick up the phone. I got to get on the phone and call people out of the blue from the telephone book or from a list that I've been given, and it's that old fear of rejection that is now surfacing its ugly head. But in reality, prospecting does not mean cold calls. Prospecting means utilizing your network to turn cold calls into warm calls that will open the door for you. Let me just give you a statistic.
Okay.
The success rate of cold calls is about 20%. 17 to 20% of all cold calls are actually successful. So you're already on the short end if you're doing cold call. What's more powerful is utilizing your network of existing customers and associates that have the ability to do business with your company or with you as an entrepreneur to open the door for you to talk to people that they know that are either in the same business or have the same need. If I was to call someone within my network, and let's use our example of today, Carl, and me being on your show.
Okay.
Me being on your show started with my association with a business partner and friend named Valerie Parker. Valerie is a speaker, trainer, and entrepreneur who I have developed a relationship with over time and friendship with. And Valerie and I were having a conversation, and Valerie said to me, you know, we need to do some more networking. I said, yes, we do. I said, I'm looking for people that are doing what we do, that have their own businesses. I have a radio show, and I'm looking for entrepreneurs and speakers. And she said, you know, I have another associate, and his name is Carl Thornton, who has a radio show also. And he's looking for guests, and your expertise in sales would be a good fill or fit for his radio show. Here's his number. Why don't you give him a call? I pick up the phone. I call Carl Thornton and say, Carl, my name is Velton Schell. Valerie Parker recommended that I call you about and talk to you about your radio show and my radio show. Do you have a few minutes to talk?
And
well,
I did.
Guess what? Prospecting at its best, because I threw my net out there by having a conversation with someone who I knew that was able to refer me to someone within their network who was a prospect, and then utilizing that relationship, I was able to get a phone call, answered, returned, and movement towards being on this show today. Carl, how many phone calls do you get from people trying to sell you something?
Ooh, more than I'd like.
Okay. Every one of our customers gets calls from people every day, sales professionals who want to sell them something. The propensity for them to answer the phone and have a conversation with someone who was referred to them by someone in their office, someone in their network, or in their friendship relationship scheme is much greater than if they just answer the phone and it's someone who's reading a script or someone who doesn't know anything about them, who's doing a cold call to see if they can kindle a fire.
Mm-hmm.
So understanding prospecting from that standpoint, utilizing your network, is extremely important.
And that's your, I would think that that's a lot more comfortable, too, than cold calling.
Oh, absolutely.
On total strangers.
It is. Mm-hmm. Because you know that the opportunity is there because you have something to discuss with them.
Yeah.
Now, the other side of it is a lot of people get on the phone and they start calling before they determine who it is they're going to call and why. Why am I calling this person? What is it that I'm trying to do with this call? I'm trying to sell them something, but most sales are not made with one phone call. So what is your goal on this call today? What is it I'm trying to do today? What do I want to accomplish? And why am I calling this person? It's called doing your homework, understanding who you're calling by developing what I call a strategic list, which are people who have the ability or propensity to buy your product, and then determining in pre-call planning, why am I calling them and what is my objective today? What am I going to accomplish today? Because I'm not going to, you know, my ability to sell, if you're selling especially large ticket items, it's not going to be a one call thing. So I need to set smaller goals for myself until I'm able to accomplish my ultimate goal, which is a signature on a contract.
So from the very beginning then, this sales process involves focus.
Absolutely. Focus and homework. Doing your homework. Understanding who you're calling and why.
Okay.
In addition to that, dealing with obstacles. We deal with a lot of obstacles today in sales that frustrate salespeople. Dealing with the gatekeeper is something that I chuckle about. Gatekeepers can be secretaries, administrative assistants, voicemail, those types of things, because they are designed to intercept interruptions from people by salespeople and other people who would waste their time. So how do you deal with the gatekeeper? What do you do? How do you deal with voicemail? What do you do? First of all, with the gatekeeper, you have to sell. We're salespeople. That person has to believe in you enough to allow you to interrupt their boss's precious time because they've been hired to run interference. Sometimes the selling of the gatekeeper may take 2 calls, 3 calls, 5 calls, 6 calls just for that person to feel comfortable enough with you that your message doesn't go to file 13. How many times does a salesperson call an administrative assistant and have no respect for that person or no patience with that person because they are a human being? To understand that if I sell this person first, they become my advocate, mm-hmm. which is a part of my selling process. Because they're now telling their boss that I'm a nice person and they really should talk to me. Versus, oh my God, or oh gosh, this same guy is calling here again. I can't get him to stop, but you don't need to take his calls. I'm just going to throw his messages away, or, you know, I'm just going to tell him we're not interested. So you've lost the opportunity to sell. You've lost an opportunity because you didn't recognize that human being as a part of the process.
And so at that point, you're dealing with the gatekeeper. You're not working so hard to sell a product or a service as you are yourself.
You're selling yourself. You are selling yourself, and you are making that person feel comfortable and important. Everybody in this world wants to feel comfortable and important. And if you can do that, and for another time, I have a story where it took me 6 months to get to a customer.
Wow.
And I started out with his gatekeeper saying, yes, Mr. Shao. No, Mr. Shao, he's not available. Till at the end, well, dear, I know you want to talk to him, is how she started to address
him. Mm.
And she was an older lady, and I chuckle now because I went from Mr. Shao to dear.
Yeah, big change.
I went from he's not there to ultimately she put my message in the middle of his desk and had me on hold until he got off the phone.
Wow.
Part of the selling process. The other thing, and I'll talk about this real quick, is voicemail. You know, we leave these voicemail messages, and they are not sales messages. They are just a hodgepodge of nervousness and a quick message to get off the phone. A voicemail message can be a very, very powerful sales tool. And most voicemail mechanisms give you the ability to erase your message if you're not happy with it,
mm-hmm.
or to re-record it, or to erase it and hang up. Just because you're talking to a machine, you don't have to sound like one. You don't have to act like one. Personalize your message. Understand what your presentation is, what you want to relay to this person. Practice it. Re-record it and leave a powerful message.
Wow. So when you're leaving that message with the voicemail, are you necessarily trying to avoid saying much about the product? Or are you focusing on the fact that you would like an opportunity to meet this person, begin to develop a relationship? Where do you go with that?
Well, my recommendation would not to focus so much on the product, because remember something, selling, especially with the larger priced items, is an emotional situation. You want to appeal to the person's emotions. The only caution I will give you is to understand, and this is where our homework comes in, understand who your customer is and where they are.
Mm-hmm.
Geographically, selling changes depending on who you're selling to. When you're selling to someone in the Northeast, a lot of times, the quicker the information gets to the point, the better off. When you're selling to someone in the South, it's a much more emotional, long, elongated sale because business is personal and they don't discuss their personal business with strangers. So you need to develop more of a relationship. And it changes as you go to the Midwest and California, depending on the mores and folkways of the individuals, your customers, and the traditions of that area. Understand who you're talking to and where you're talking to them so that you understand how they're used to doing business.
All right. We have some more steps, ladies and gentlemen. As you can hear, these are vital steps. It pays to really understand these steps. When we come back, Velton will be sharing some more of these steps with us, so be ready. And as he said, write it down, plug it into your smartphone some kind of way, keep it on tap. And believe me now, we are going to give you the opportunity to get that contact information and find out how you can be in line to get that DVD once it's complete, too. So stay with us. Velton and I will be right back.